Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this sunny fourth Sunday of Easter. It's also a Good Shepherd Sunday, but I did not tell the secretary that, so it's not in your bulletin. But you'll figure it out. I have a couple of announcements for you. First and foremost, today at 4 p.m., Emma Perman's Eagle Scout project is going to commence. She has made a scout project organizing a concert featuring local artists and in collaboration with an organization called Band Together Pittsburgh. And that's their a group that provides music lessons and instruments and performances to children on the autism spectrum. And they do that for people at no cost. So the doors open at 4. The performers are going to take the stage at from 5 to 7 in Fellowship Hall today. So come on out. There's going to be food and drinks for purchase. You can make a donation, but it should be a great time. I'm really looking forward to it. And then next Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, the next Saturday that we have is going to be the Women's Association Spring Craft Show. So there's also going to be a bake sale. I saw lines, a parade of cookies going into Fellowship Hall this morning. If you have anything else that you would like to bake for the bake sale, see BJ, and you, I mean, it'll be a great time, right? And also, come to the craft show on Saturday and represent Glenshaw Valley, because I will not be here. I am leaving for Japan in less than 24 hours, actually less than like 18 hours, and I will be gone tomorrow through May 2nd, late May 2nd. So next week, I have you'll have the opportunity to be led in worship by the Reverend Dr. Hunter Farrell. He was one of my favorite seminary professors, and he was the professor that led my group through Guatemala last year. He's incredibly inspiring. And then the following week, you'll get the pleasure to be with Ingrid Ng, Calc Thaler, and you all know that that is always a great worship experience. So as you might guess, while I'm away, I'm not going to have a lot of internet or phone capabilities. You can email me, but I might not get back to you until May 6th. But if you have a pastoral emergency, please contact your deacons. Cliff doesn't know this, but I'm also going to ask you to contact Cliff, and he will make sure that the right people get to where they need to go. Oh, I'm also going to be bringing Flat Jesus with me. Have you ever heard of Flat Stanley? Emma, have you heard of Flat Stanley? Yes? Okay. Well, I have a Flat Jesus. So Flat Stanley is a thing that a lot of elementary students do, and they color in a picture of a guy, and they take him with them everywhere they go, and they take pictures with Flat Stanley to see how far around the world Flat Stanley goes. Well, I will be taking Flat Jesus, and we will see where all I can find Jesus on my adventures. Yeah, so that'll be great. Also, we learned a little bit last week about Foundation of Hope in our Minute to Mission. They're a local organization serving incarcerated and recently released people, and they keep running out of Bibles, especially the Life Recovery Bible. And they're asking for a donation of Bibles at the May Presbytery meeting. That's May 23rd. So we will be collecting them until May 19th. You can either go directly to the website that's found in the Valley newsletter and order one, or if you want to designate your offering check to Bibles, we'll purchase them in bulk, and I will bring them to the May Presbytery meeting. I know that was a lot. Are there any other announcements? Anything else I am forgetting? No. Fantastic. I printed my things the wrong way. So, with that, let us gather together, prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our call to worship. Our good shepherd has led us to this space. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. Our good shepherd says, I know my own and my own know me. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Even though we walk through dark valleys, even though we are fearful and in need of comfort, our cup overflows with God's goodness and mercy. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord our whole lives long. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. If we are honest with ourselves, our hearts condemn us. But God, who knows everything, is greater than our hearts. And God's deep desire for us is mercy, love, and peace. Therefore, let us confess our sin, saying, Lord, have mercy on us. We talk about love, but our actions betray us. We talk about love, but we neglect the poor. We talk about love, but we fail to love one another. Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us and abide in us by the power of your Spirit, so that our lives may show our love for Jesus Christ, in whose body we live and in whose name we pray. Amen. We seek God's grace with boldness because we trust in Jesus Christ, the one who loves us and laid down his life for us. This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Amen. Let's now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Holy God, Good Shepherd, we turn to you in prayer because we need a leader, someone we can trust, someone who can show us the way in complicated and confusing times. Guide us, Good Shepherd. For the nations of the world, anoint all leaders with your wisdom so that they will use their power to help the poor and defend the vulnerable. Guide us, Good Shepherd. The world's problems overwhelm. The burden of suffering is great. We bear witness to tragedy after tragedy on the evening news as wolves circle your innocent sheep, threatening our hope for a just world, a path to peace, and a beloved kingdom. What can we do, God? How can we be of help? What power do we have to transform evil to good? Guide us, Good Shepherd. When we doubt our worth and our belovedness, remind us that we are yours, that we belong, that we have a place within your flock. Remind us and comfort us with the knowledge that in body and in soul, in life and in death, we belong to you, our Savior and Shepherd. Unite your flock with love and help us be welcoming of others as you are to us. Guide us, Good Shepherd. Just as the shepherd knows each of his sheep, help us to know and care for the individuals that are in particular need of your merciful grace. We especially pray for the innocent caught in the crosshairs of war, soldiers suffering from moral injury and PTSD, the sick and those who care for them, the grieving, the exhausted, the depressed, those in need of resurrection hope. Comfort them and walk with them through the dark valleys and restore them, body, mind, and soul. Guide us, Good Shepherd. Finally, loving God, help us to keep your commandments and to love one another with the love of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, O Sing a Song of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
Please be seated. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the goods of the world and sees a brother or sister in need, yet refuses to help? With love for God and neighbor, let us offer our lives to the Lord. God, you meet our needs and transform us for service. Accept these gifts as signs of our gratitude and our commitment to Christ's ministry. Amen.
This morning, our scripture reading is John 10, 11 to 18, from the New Revised Standard Version. Okay. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord God and good shepherd, help us to listen for your voice so that we might be shaped by your Spirit's message to us today and transformed for the service of your world. Amen. Okay, so just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever spent some time at a sheep farm or done some sort of shepherding at some point in your life? Have you? We're going to have to talk. And Heather, you have?
I was just going to ask, do kids count?
Unfortunately, no. No. Anybody?
Cows.
Oh, that'll be interesting here in a minute. Yeah. All right, so then I think I know the answer to the next. Oh, wait, have you done anything with sheep? No, you're mostly house pets.
Cows.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, sheep and goats are kind of the same thing. Not really, but No, I know. I know. Yeah, watching Babe 10 times totally counts. All right, so I think I know the answer to the next question, but just for funsies. How many of you regularly see sheep when you're out and about, when you're on your way to the grocery store, or to or from work, or?
You see a lot of them.
But I mean here, you see them, where do you go? Where do you? Oh, no, but I mean like on your regular, like everyday, like outings. You see them on your regular? Really? All right, I'm gonna have to take a drive. I'm gonna Google that. I'm gonna have to go drive by there. Anybody?
Lamb chops.
No, the grocery store does not count. It needs to be full, like a whole sheep. Okay. All right, so this is one of the potential issues with Jesus' parables. I've seen sheep. I've even pet and fed sheep at a petting zoo or at the state fair, but I haven't really spent a whole lot of time with sheep or shepherds to be able to really understand what Jesus is saying here. It's not really that relatable. And there aren't many of us in the world today that are around any livestock for any amount of time. Like, there are people, right? But it's even if we did live in a more agrarian part of the country, shepherding in the 21st century is a little different than it was in Jesus' time. So here's the thing. When Jesus spoke in parables, he used language and examples that the people of a specific time and place could immediately relate to, even if they didn't immediately get it. So sometimes we think that Jesus is saying things in plain English, and like what we think of a shepherd or a sheep farmer, and what people 2,000 years ago thought of as a shepherd or a sheep farmer, it doesn't really mesh necessarily. And that doesn't mean that what Jesus had to say isn't applicable to us here and now. The parables still transcend time and place. We just have to use a little more thinking, some more critical thinking skills to translate the lessons that he's giving, just so that they make a little more more sense in our context. And so that's, like, I'm sure you've heard of a congregation referred to as a flock, and the shepherd referred to as the leader of that church. And that sort of terminology and that sort of metaphor is reinforced in parts of the New Testament. But when I read this passage, that makes me a little uncomfortable with those kinds of terms, especially when it comes to that division between the flock and the pastor, the shepherd. Jesus starts out by saying, he is the poimen hokelos. And every version I've looked at, I haven't looked at all of them, but every version that I've looked at has translated this phrase to good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And I think that's an okay translation. It's perfectly, absolutely faithful to the Greek. But that adjective, kalos, means more than just good or praiseworthy. It also means model. Jesus is the model shepherd. He is the reference point for all of us. He's not your average shepherd, but he's the model shepherd, the only one. And as the model shepherd, Jesus is contrasted with the hired hands, the Pharisees, the ones who tend to the sheep, but only insofar as they can get something out of it. They'll shear the sheep to get the wool. They'll make sure that the sheep have water and food, but only if it doesn't require any loss on the hired hands' part. At the first sign of danger, those hired hands, out of there. They're not about to risk anything to protect a couple of sheep. But Jesus isn't a hired hand. He's not even your average shepherd. Jesus genuinely and deeply cares for the sheep, all of the sheep. He'll search for them. He'll crawl around in brambles to rescue them, tend to illnesses and injuries no matter the cost. And when those sheep are facing danger, when the wolves start circling, the good shepherd will go to meet the danger. And if necessary, he will take upon himself the fate that would otherwise befall the sheep. And in Jesus' case, it was necessary, and he did. Jesus would rather die than let anything harm his flock. Why does Jesus do this? Well, because we sheep are his own. Because of the relationship that he has with us and with God. I know you're probably thinking like, I don't know how comfortable I am being called a sheep. I'm not thrilled about it myself, but we tend to hear today the term sheep thrown around as a pejorative. Sheep have a reputation of not being super bright. But I read something by Barbara Brown Taylor. She grew up with sheep. And she has helped me gain a different perspective of sheep. And she contends that cattle ranchers started the claim that sheep are a little off. Primarily because sheep are not cows. Sheep don't behave like cows. She explains that when herding cows, you go behind them. And you shout and you prod, and then they move forward. But if you do that with sheep, if you stand behind them and you make a bunch of noise, the sheep will run around behind you. Sheep prefer to be led, not pushed. Sheep won't go anywhere that their trusted shepherd doesn't go first. Jesus isn't your average shepherd. He's the good shepherd, the model shepherd. He knows and loves every inch and every member of the fold. But the extraordinary thing is that that love, as big as this fold is, that love isn't limited to the sheep of Israel or even John's community. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus brings everyone together into one big flock. Christ's voice calls out to the others just as fervently as he calls out to us. Jesus calls out, the Good Shepherd calls out to those on the margins of society, those of other denominations, those of other faiths, those with addictions and illnesses, those who look, love, and hold different citizenships. Jesus invites all of them into the fold too. Here's the thing. Jesus embraces and obeys the same commandment from God that he passes along to us: to love one another just as he loved us. And how does Jesus love us? By laying down his life for every single one of his sheep. All right. I love you all very, very much, but I don't know that I'm really ready to literally die for all of you. And I highly doubt, and quite honestly, I hope that none of you are willing to do that either. While laying down his life was literal for Jesus, it's a more figurative thing for us. Fully loving someone can be risky, so risky. There's no guarantee that our love will be returned. We make sacrifices for the people that we love. We're willing to have our lives disrupted, to move, to start a new family, to drop everything in the middle of the week to go down to the hospital and stay with your friend who's frankly losing it because her husband is undergoing emergency surgery. It's in those ways that we, Glenshaw Valley, as the body of Christ, pick up where Jesus has left us. We, as individuals and as a congregation, we are to emulate Christ by going out into the world and embodying that mutuality of love that's found in that relationship between God and Jesus and between Jesus and us. We go out and we find and wrap our arms around the outcasts of society the way that Jesus did. That means the sinners, the homeless, the addicted, the pregnant teens, the migrants, you name it. Our love should be extending beyond the flock that we know. I get it. That's way easier said than done. That can be hard work. It's not necessarily physically difficult, but sometimes it is. It is, and it can be emotionally demanding, though. Especially in this pull yourself up by your bootstraps society that chastises vulnerability and is accustomed to holding impossibly high standards for people, and then we then place on ourselves. Still, it is what God has asked of us. We will face real fears and many distractions on this journey. But we can feel secure just hearing the voice of the shepherd, reminding us that we are held. And in turn, we allow his voice to speak through us as we reach out to the lost and hurting that we encounter on our way. Because ours is not your average shepherd. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Thou Art Worthy. Yeah, you are. Before we head back out into the world, let me offer a blessing. We are an Easter people. Christ is risen. Live into the hope of Christ's resurrection and follow him as our good shepherd. May the grace, peace, and love of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with you now and always. Amen.